Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's For the Love of Food at SaverLife.com. And just found a new squash variety at the farm market. It was at Gentle's Farm Market a couple days ago, and they had one called Autumn Frost. This is smaller than the Honey Nut, which is relatively new. I think Cornell participated in the development of the Honey Nut squash, which is a little too sweet for me. I'll try them again. I grew them 1 year too, and they grew like crazy. Produced a whole lot of squash. It was, if you want to produce a lot of them, the Honey Nut, it's a great one to grow. But it's just it's kind of too sweet. So I haven't tasted this Autumn Frost one, but it's kind of a similar size. It's got more ribs. So these are relatively small squash compared to Hubbard and butternut. And supposedly this one tastes kind of like butternut. It has a long shelf life for winter. You can save it for quite a while, up to 4 months, it says. And the frost is maybe because it has kind of a white, sort of a whitish cast to what seems to be more like the color of butternut, but it has this just like a light white coating on it, like frost. I mean, it really is kind of a cool name for it. And it's a pretty squash, maybe the size of acorn squash. But if it's like butternut, it won't have the kind of the veins and texture of acorn squash, but more of a creamier type of squash, perhaps. So I'll cook it and let you know next week. I was planning to cook it yesterday, didn't get to it, so I'll cook it this week and let you know about it next weekend. So Gentle's Market has them. I think it's a fairly new variety, so it may be hard to find or not that common. I think Gentle's Farm Market is going to be open generally through Halloween, that gives you a few weeks to get over there. They don't no longer have any corn. Sweet corn is gone, and some of their customers were lamenting that. I kind of feel like I had so much sweet corn this summer that I'm okay. I'm no longer craving it. I had a lot of sweet corn this summer. I think Sunscape Farms in Greece, I don't know about their Penfield location, but I got some corn a week ago from their Greece location on Maiden Lane. They're in a red barn there. There's a couple of farm markets, but they're in the one with a red barn on Maiden Lane near Fetzner, near the expressway. And it may be a different variety of corn. I'm guessing it is, that can tolerate colder nights. It may be that they are, they just don't mature as well as the days get shorter, days get cooler, nights get cooler. So the kernels were small, very, very poppy and a nice flavor. But I was telling a friend who was asking about sweet corn, if you go expecting the best corn of the summer, you're going to be disappointed. If you go with lower expectations, that it's just nice to have some corn on the cob still in mid-October, then maybe it'll be perfect for you. So not sure how long they'll have it or if they still have it. So I would call first if you're going there just for sweet corn. But farm markets right now have so much to choose from. There hasn't really been a killing frost, so the peppers and the tomatoes are still available. But stock up on those. That season is coming to an end, and eggplant still available. Really a lot of great choices out there. for inspiring your cooking. And you can do what I'm going to do probably later today, which is to roast a whole bunch of things in one oven, you know, at one time for different meals. And one of the things I'm going to make is my vegetarian lasagna, which I've done some vegan versions of it. I've done many versions of this vegetarian lasagna. You know, basically, usually including maybe sliced butternut squash. I cook them first, the squash and any other vegetables that go in, you know, and then sort of assemble them and then cook them for another 30 minutes in the oven. I use just a little bit of tomato sauce. I often have beets, put in some Swiss chard, sometimes mushrooms, again, cooked ahead of time, and often cauliflower, which I've tried pureeing sometimes. Sometimes I'll I can roast it first, so I'll basically roast all these things this afternoon and assemble a bunch of them for this lasagna. So I'll have cauliflower and squash. Sweet potatoes are really nice in this vegetarian lasagna. Obviously, when I went with the vegan, I didn't include any ricotta or mozzarella on top, but I think I'll include those this time. And just the mixture of vegetable flavors. I mean, it's essentially like a vegetarian Napoleon, just layers of vegetables. And the beets add just some fantastic color. And then the traditional lasagna recipes, I think they had 2 jars of tomato sauce and lots of ricotta. I've gone to mainly vegetables and like half a jar of sauce, and sometimes I use there's a lentil pasta that comes in a lasagna form. I think it's lentils, and so you get protein from those. And it's just tastes amazing. And the vegetables are separate enough that you can taste them, but not overwhelmed by the tomato sauce. And it's just a really great way to bake some winter vegetables, essentially. The prep time is a bit much, but you know, you have meals for several days. It's a big pan of lasagna, except when we have 4 or 5 people or 6 people at home, and our kids are home, and then it disappears in a night. But otherwise, it really provides some great meals over several days, and it's a great way to highlight, the root vegetables. You could put absolutely anything in it. I was thinking about maybe a tofu layer, a really thin layer, or maybe there's some smoked tofu that's really good. So lots of options. And it's also just a great way to use up a bunch of vegetables that might be in your refrigerator, or you harvested from the garden, or you have too much of something. Maybe you have a massive zucchini, or 6 eggplant that you don't know what to do with. For this dish, you could roast the eggplant whole and then scrape out the insides for kind of almost a pureed layer in the lasagna, and with a roasted smoky flavor, or slice the eggplant and roast it, and then layer it in the pan with for one of the lasagna layers. I tend to use only a couple of layers of pasta, 2, really. And a lot of lasagna has like four layers of pasta and cheese or meat sauce in between them. So I only use two layers of pasta and lots of layers of vegetables. Really is delicious. And not really anything that I've seen. The closest thing I can think of is really like a vegetable Napoleon that I've had that not recently, but quite a while ago, and is delicious. This is not as refined, and it's served warm. Generally, the Napoleon, some of the ones I've had have been, I think, cold, which helps them hold together. So, the lasagna falls apart. If you have four layers of pasta, then it's less likely to fall apart. But with only two layers of pasta, it inevitably does to some degree. But that's fine. I'm not trying to win any awards for presentation. So if you want more specific ideas on, a list of the things that I've used in it, feel free to email me, michael@saverlife.com. Probably can use pretty much anything. I don't think there's anything that I've regretted putting in. Or I've thought, that didn't work. I can't think of anything that I didn't like in this lasagna. Speaking of tofu, had a fantastic Buddha bowl from Red Fern this week. And Red Fern has some really good food. If you haven't tried their food, you need to. This Buddha bowl has a marinated tofu that's really, really good. Coconut brown rice, sauteed kale, and really just perfectly done kale. Steamed beets, pickled carrots, and cabbage, sesame seeds, and their ginger garlic tamari sauce, which is outrageously good. This might be my favorite dish right now in Rochester restaurants. And Red Fern's not a sponsor of my shows, never has been. The Buddha Bowl is really good. And I kind of got hooked on it about a year ago when my daughter got one and I got something else and got to taste hers and just loved the combination. I had to get that this time. And they have very easy takeout, order online for pickup or delivery. They really have a good setup there at Red Fern. They were closed for quite a while during the shutdown and after a lot of restaurants had opened, and they really, wanted to set up systems to do things really well to make people feel comfortable. And they do have some outdoor seating there too. Do some experimenting with these dishes, what they have. They offer some, like you often see at vegetarian restaurants, that are just off of a meat menu, but using replacements. So they've got buffalo tempeh wings and a steak bomb and baked mac and cheese. There's steak and potatoes, which is a seitan steak. I still think that this is a mistake. I mean, I'm the only one that thinks that, obviously, because virtually every vegetarian restaurant over the last decade and longer has done that here in Rochester. But the Buddha Bowl's, not trying to be meat, as far as I know. And it reminded me of dishes that I've had at a restaurant in Boston called Life Alive. And if you get to Boston, this is a casual restaurant that you should go in search of if you, have sort of tend toward vegetarian or vegan or something. Life Alive has some amazing dishes. And you look them up online, look up their menu, and you get a sense for how they're not trying to replace meat in dishes. And it just kind of drives me nuts to see these meat dishes on vegetarian cafe menus. Because I've said before, the meat lovers are going to be disappointed because it's not meat. And it may have a little bit of the texture. It may have a little bit of the flavor or the sauce, you put wing sauce on anything, but it's not meat. So, the meat lovers, are they going to be happy with that? Probably not really. And the vegetarians often don't want meat. So, if you're a strict vegetarian, you look at, a menu that has steak and potatoes and buffalo chicken wings and, meatloaf on it, and that's not very appetizing. So I don't get what's happening with vegetarian restaurant menus. So check out Life Alive's menus. They have warm bowls, and this is kind of what the Buddha Bowl reminded me of the things that they do. But I think I had their Swami one of the last times I was there. It's a sweet curry miso sauce with tamari almonds, raisins, shredded carrots, broccoli, kale, and sweet onions over brown rice. They also do the Innocent, which is ginger nama shoyu sauce with kelp nutritional flakes, giving a savory cheese-like seasoning to sweet corn, shredded carrots, broccoli, tamari almonds over quinoa and short grain brown rice. And so again, they're looking for the cheese-like seasoning, but it's not really intended to be, these are not meat dishes. They have the Fool, one of their warm bowls, which is a fragrant sesame ginger sauce, which marinating thick and comforting udon noodles, shiitake mushrooms, shredded carrots, sweet onions, tofu or sprouted legumes, kale and sesame seeds. And so you get kind of a sense. I think I had their Adventurer one of the last times I was there. Also, sesame ginger nama sauce with corn, beets, broccoli, kale, shredded cheddar, tofu, or sprouted legumes, and tamari almonds over quinoa and brown rice. And I often get the ones that include the shiitake mushrooms. But the dressings that are used are really fantastic. And then you got texture and things like the shredded carrots, udon noodles in one of these, or quinoa, but cool combinations. And there's just not as much of that available as I wish there was here in Rochester. So if I was going to open a restaurant, which will never happen because I've been around restaurants too much to know or to want to open my own, and I really appreciate how hard all the chefs and restaurant owners and wait staff work in Rochester, anywhere. But I'm not ever going to open a restaurant. But if I was going to open one, I would probably try to get a franchise of Life Alive, because I really find their food combinations really delicious. But there are things that you could do. You could come up with your own version of these sauces and your own version and combination of these vegetables, and probably do pretty well just given these suggestions off of their menu. Some really good salads too. That's a Life Alive in Boston. Look it up if you're interested, and you should stop there at some point when you're out traveling and perhaps in Boston on business or visiting family in the future. Rochester Food Network, we've been posting on Instagram, and I posted what was left of my Buddha bowl, which, and I've had this discussion with several people. Restaurant food in particular tends to be posted as, you know, just gorgeous dishes and, you know, sort of glamour shots of the food. And several times I've posted these half-eaten meals, which is hopefully just interesting and different. I'm not sure it's a good idea of mine to post them, but frankly, the two times that I've done it recently, it's because I forgot to take a photo before I started eating, and I consumed a substantial amount of it before remembering to take a photo. So that's not an excuse, but the reason that I've posted some of these. But I got to credit Chris Clemens from Exploring Upstate and also one of the Rochester Food Net collaborators, because for our meals that we used to have together in restaurants and will again in the near future, but he would often take the sort of the final photo of the demolished food, and, you know, and basically empty plates, and we generally just ate everything in sight. And so he would get an overhead drone shot of the table and all the empty plates. So it's kind of channeling his idea there in these partly or mostly finished dishes of restaurant food. And, you know, the other challenge of it is that when a restaurant packs food for takeout, it's not going to look that great. You know, some look surprisingly good, but really, you know, how good is it going to look as takeout? So why not post a half-eaten photo or a photo of half-eaten food? Also, this past week posted a photo of the only place on Cuca Lake, and this is their final weekend. If you want a cinnamon roll, you should probably head down there now. It's about an hour and a half away. That's east side of Cuca Lake, so between Penn Yan and Hammondsport, and it's basically peak color right now, or near peak in the region. Gorgeous, gorgeous trees almost everywhere you go. So they are open seasonally, and this Columbus Day weekend is their final weekend. So if you want some of their famous food, and they are renowned for the Rachel, which is a sandwich that they've had on their menu since they opened. And it's a sort of a mini grocery store and deli. It serves a lot of the people who summer on Cuca Lake and other lakes. There's a winemaker there from Seneca Lake, actually from the east side of Seneca Lake when I was there this past Sunday. And I just missed their cinnamon rolls. Someone had picked one up a few minutes, I think, before I got there, the last one. So get there as early as you can if you want to have a cinnamon roll that they make. But the Rachel is described as the Reuben's better-looking sister. Hot turkey and Swiss on our chef's own coleslaw, Thousand Island dressing on grilled marble rye. And they've got that sandwich down to a science. It is really, really good. Got some of their potato salad to go, and again, if you know, celebrate the seasonality of not just food, but also some of the restaurants. Head down to the only place. Seth Olney is the owner. It's O-L-N-E-Y. And again, one of the key places for people who live in the region to go during the summer. They're basically open spring through fall, and they've got beer on tap and some really good beers by the, you know, glass and cans. Kind of a curated selection of beer at the only place. So midway down the east side of Cuca Lake, you'll see Rooster Hill and Ravines and Cuca Lake, Cuca Spring Vineyards, Domaine Le Sueur and Weiss Vineyards. So some wonderful wineries to stop at too while you're down that way. And some nice weather for outdoor seating, outdoor tastings. You know, the nice fall continues. The wineries loving the generally dry weather that we've had, and I think most of them avoided a freeze, which just shuts down the vines and stops any ripening. So, again, the lakes helped to moderate the temperatures we had a couple weeks ago when it got down near freezing. So rave reviews from winemakers and vineyard owners about the fruit that's coming in. A lot of the harvest happening right now. They started, you know, in September, but a lot of the Rieslings and Cabernets, etc., will come in this month over the next couple of weeks. So another reason to go down and kind of explore the region and maybe visit the only place, theonlyplace.com, if you want to look up their menu. But some really delicious food. But it was funny, I said hello to Seth when he was down there, and we were walking around outside, and there weren't that many cars in the parking lot. He said, that's not you, is it, in that white car? Yeah, that's my car. He said, be careful when you back out, because there's some big boulders around their sign, and I think people occasionally hit those when they back out quickly, where most of the parking lot you can back out much further. This I was in the one spot where you can't do that, so appreciated his warning. But a really neat place and a stunning time of the year to go down and explore the lakes. If you run into some interesting places or some great food, or have been dining at some restaurants in Rochester around our region, perhaps, that really just did a fantastic job in terms of service and food and really following the rules in terms of people wearing masks when they're supposed to. And you know, if we would be in such a much better position as a nation if we could agree that wearing masks would make things better and would make business more normal and infection rates lower. And it's really a very simple thing to do. It's, you know, it's annoying. I don't want to wear a mask anywhere any more than anyone else does. But I'd rather have the opportunity to visit restaurants, you know, and when they have more capacity than 50% right now, and that's something that can be done if we are wearing masks and contact tracing and just being careful. But we continue to have people in government, not to mention, you know, the leaders in the White House, who even after getting the virus are still saying, you know, and showing examples that wearing masks are not necessary. It's irresponsible. It's much worse than that, really, because it's going to lead to more people dying unnecessarily. So you know, wear a mask, and you know, we can get through this as a country, but it's driving me crazy that and I have to say, in this last vice presidential debate, Pence said that they were following science, which is the biggest lie, perhaps, of the debate. The White House hasn't followed science in anything that they've done, much less the coronavirus, and they have changed the recommendations of the scientists to suit their purposes and their beliefs. They're not following science, and that has led to a lot of people dying unnecessarily. So, and it's affecting the ability of our businesses, restaurants in particular, to survive. And it's so unnecessary. If we had leaders who would lead by example, it would make it much easier for businesses who have to try and convince people that they got to wear masks. It's really crazy. And this is one of the key reasons I ended up leaving the radio station back in June, because they, and probably still are, making fun of people that are wearing masks, and treating this as, some sort of, government plot to control people's lives wearing masks. It's just, I'm not the only one who's upset by this, and many people have lost loved ones because of the inability of our government to provide a united front with the scientists to say it's a good idea, we'll do it till a vaccine becomes available, and we will have a more normal business activity as a result. So restaurants in particular are some of the biggest challenges. Their margins were never high margins, and they're still limited to 50% capacity here in Rochester. But if you have some really good experiences where you really appreciate how hard the restaurants are working to keep people safe and give them a sense of confidence, then send me an email. Let me know, michael@saverlife.com. And get out to the farmers markets. This is the final Tuesday for the West Side Farmers Market. So that's from 4 to 7 p.m. It's at St. Monica's Church in their parking lot. Really nicely spread out, easy parking. And that's this Tuesday, 4 to 7 p.m. And a lot of these neighborhood smaller farmers markets will be wrapping up this week or next week. So get out and, get some extra cookies and desserts to put in the freezer. Get some extra produce to cook with, to give to family or friends. Buy some extra and help support these farmers and local small producers who are working hard. Philomena will probably be at the West Side Farmers Market on Tuesday, and she has some delicious vegetarian and non-vegetarian dishes that she does. Get a couple of extra ones and put them in the freezer for meals, easy meals to have on hand. It makes a difference for these vendors, and you'll have some great food over the next few weeks, or maybe even longer. You can keep them in the freezer. So the big markets, like the Rochester Public Market, will remain open. But again, this is the final Tuesday for the West Side Farmers Market, 4 to 7 p.m. If you want details on anything, send me a note, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back with Discover the Finger Lakes, and tomorrow the Grapevine is at 9 a.m. here at saverlife.com. Have a great day.